Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Cosmo Pharmaceuticals Full Year Results 2013 conference call. I'm Goran, the call score operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Mauro Iani, Chairman of Cosmo Pharmaceuticals. You will now be joined into the conference room. Thank you.
So, first of all, I would like to thank you for your presence to be here in such an important day for the company. Important because is the last meeting as a CEO, and the second for the presentation of the data that we achieved in 2013 that, let me say, were very, very good. Here with me there are Alessandro Della Chà, that is the new CEO of the company, Chris Turner, the CFO, and Luigi Moro, that is the CSO. Just an highlight in our 2013, we have the record of our net profit with 68.7 million. We have a decline in the operating revenue because we decided just in the middle of the last year not to license our methylene blue, and the no license impact in the possible down payment that we could get from the company. We took the decision not to license because the intention of the company, as we will explain later, is to run the own business in the U.S. that, as you know, is the most important market in our field. Uceris has been launched just 1 month later the approval of the FDA and achieved very enthusiastic result because the drug was immediately understood by the physician in the U.S. And we doubled our expectation. We have an excellent performance by Lialda that now became the leader in the U.S. in the 5-ASA market. And during the year, we achieved an important result in terms of looking forward that was the special protocol assessment agreement with the FDA. It's a binding agreement that allow us to be confident in terms of reading the data when we will finish the trial. For CB0301, just 2 weeks ago, we ended our phase 2 dose-ranging study, and we will have the unblinding of the data within April. In the phase 2, what is really important for us, because it was, as I said, a dose-ranging study, is first see that we have no problem in terms of safety. Second, we hope that we can confirm what we believe, that the drug can work very, very good in the twice in a day for the 1% of the cream. During the last year, we sold around 5 million Santaro shares with for a gain of around 60 million. And the revenue came from our royalty and manufacturing of MMX, that is our technology, well, very, very good, because we double our revenue. As I said before, the revenue declined only because we decided not to license methylene blue. In the same time, we have a good EBITDA position, and especially a very good position in cash, because we have around 168 million. Now Chris is going to present the figures of our balance sheet. Please, Chris.
Mauro said we have a slight decline in revenues. If you look at the company is very focused, and we have very little other income or other expenses coming in. And our cost of sales increased slightly, I would say, from 16 to 19 million. This is primarily due to the fact that we had to manufacture more because of both from the perspective of Lialda, where volumes went up considerably, as well as the volumes we manufactured for Uceris. As Mauro said before, at the beginning of the year, both we as well as the analysts projected Lialda sales to be in the vicinity of 20 million euro, not Lialda, Uceris sales to be in the vicinity of 20 million euro, and they came in at 66. So this was an enormous number. Mauro will be saying this later on, but if you look forwards, this is a better start in the track of Uceris than Lialda had when it started in its first year of operations. The research and development costs went up by 70% to 17 million. This is due to the fact that we have concurrently a number of clinical trials that are running. And I still think if you look at it in comparison to overall costs, which you see on the research and development side of other companies, that this is a very humane number. Selling and general administrative at 7.7 million, an increase over last year, but this is in line with the overall development of business. So the operating result, on the front of it, it looks as if it declined. And, you know, IFRS has its peculiarities that milestones which we generate are considered to be operating income, even though they occur infrequently. And in last year, as Mauro said, we decided not to license out any of our products, but to keep them for ourselves, because as Alex will tell you later on, we are planning to set up a U.S. operation where we will be marketing these products ourselves, so it doesn't make sense to license them out. The financial income, however, moved up enormously, primarily, of course, because of the fact that we were able to sell Santara shares. We sold around 5 million Santara shares in May. This was done, in hindsight, you could have said, well, why didn't you wait until the end of the year? You could have sold them for a lot higher price. But at that time, of course, nobody knew, at least we didn't know, that there was a transaction in progress with Salix. And we, however, saw, you know, if you start out, that you have an investment which starts out as a relatively small investment and then suddenly becomes bigger and bigger and bigger in value, and then you say, wow, you know, maybe the moment will come to start to collect some of the profits we made, which is why we set out to sell this part together with Santaris, because they actually did a roadshow to do this, and these were placed in the market and generated these first 59 million return. The financial expenses were very low. Primarily, we do have some debt, but the debt that we have is debt which came from the state, which was provided at very low interest rates, long-term debt to finance some of the existing the research and development programs. That brought us to a profit before taxes of 71.7 million, and you will be surprised, the very low income tax of 2.9 million. The reason for this is that you have to separate on the taxation base between the taxes we pay on capital gains for the Santara's transaction, which is where the bulk of the profits came from. There are no taxes. Whereas from the operating income perspective, in Italy there would be a 30% approximate tax, and in Ireland the tax is around 12%. So this will show you in the last year we had a tax of 7.5 million, primarily because last year we had higher milestones incomes when we licensed out the product to Medicis. You know that there are a number of companies who report their income primarily on a comprehensive basis, and if you look at it from a purely comprehensive basis, our income moved up from 64 to 80 million euro. And we, again, of course, have the anomaly, if you want, that our operating income is higher than our operating revenue, which is very special. Looking at the actual business, the royalties increased by 75% to 20.4 million. The manufacturing of our MMX-based products increased by 33%, whilst the classical contract drug manufacturing business, which is what we had when we started out, when Mauro founded the company, is basically stable at around 10 million euro. And as said previously, the one-time license fees and milestones decreased by 76% to 5.2 million. Operating costs across the board increased by around 30%, which meant that in the end, the net profit increased by 254% to 68.7 million euro. From a balance sheet perspective, you know, I can sum it up. 91% of the assets are financed with equity. It really doesn't make sense to discuss about the balance sheet. We have no debt, practically no debt, except the debt which is financed, which we got from the state at very low rates. So from our perspective, we have tremendous capacity, a lot of cash. One of the key elements in managing the risks of the company is to make sure that we don't have too much cash on individual banks, so we spread it out amongst the banks. We to make sure that we don't get caught in any situation like that. But from the client's perspective, we have two big clients. One is Shire and the other one is Salix, and both have excellent credit quality. We've never had, even amongst the contract drug manufacturing business, we've never had a failure of any of our clients. These are existing clients that we've had for 10 and 15 more years, and they're a steady payer. So the balance sheet is extremely stable, and there's no reason, I mean, even looking at it, with a lupa, it's very difficult to find an area where you could say, this, you have to be very careful in this area. Net working capital increased by 100% to 12 million. We started writing off goodwill, primarily because you may recall that originally we capitalized the phase 3 clinical trials for budesonide, and we started writing them off. We took a very conservative approach in these write-offs in the sense that originally we said we're going to write it off over the life of the product. We've now said we're going to write it off over 3 years. So that's why the goodwill has declined. Tangible net worth increased by nearly 100% to 200 million. And as I said before, 91% of assets are financed with equity. Mauro, do you want to make the proposal to the General Assembly?
Yes. In April, we are going to propose for the General Assembly a dividend for 1 euro for share, because I believe that is the right time to do this, and also because the cash position of the company allowed to do this, even though we are going to finance our U.S. operation.
If you look at the next slide, it of course points out that a lot of the cash that we generated in the year 2013 came from non-operating activities. And if we look forwards, maybe anticipating what Alex is going to tell you about later, is a lot of the cash we generate in 2014 is going to be coming from non-strictly operating activities, which is beautiful, because this is the phase in which our products are moving ahead, and hopefully will be this cash generation will be replaced in the year 2016 by a very strong operating cash generation. And this is, you can see this on the slide, is where the cash was spent and where the cash was generated, and this is going to be remaining relatively similar for the year 2014, but as of 2015 we're going to be having increasing operating cash flows. Luigi will, Mauro will now give you an update of the product.
As I said before, so 2013 was very good for Rialda because the revenue of the product was 530 million. The year before, in 2012, was 400. It was a very strong increase, the 33% that allowed Shire to become the leader in the 5-ASA market. For the 2014, the provision that came from Shire will be even better, because there is a reinforcement in the U.S. as the Brenum and Lialda. At the same time, they are going to expand the Mesavance, that is the brand name that they use in Europe, in several more countries. for Uceris, as Chris told before, at the beginning of 2013, we projected the drug around $20 million. At the end of the day, the net sales in 2013 were $66 million. That we have to take in consideration that the first year launch of Lialda was around $48 million. In my opinion, it looks like that the drug, the steroids, has been really good asset by the physician, and the data that we could provide through the clinical trial shown, as we hoped and as we believed since the beginning, that we minimize the side effect of the drug thanks our technology, and we announce the effectiveness of the drug. And now there are no doubts that there is a steroid for the indication of induction of an ulcerative colitis, mild to moderate, that can be used easily because there are no side effects. Now Luigi is going to present our pipeline, starting from Cortiment.
Yes. I would like to give you a short update on the progresses that our main project realized in the year. Uceris is a big product and a successful product in U.S., and we hope that the same success should be replicated in other countries. We are performing the registration of the product in European countries through the MRP, the mutual recognition procedure, that has been operated by Ferring, our partner, and in other countries. In Europe, the mutual recognition procedure is starting now, and it has assured the enrollment in the sense that in 6 months it should be completed. And this is the reason why we hope to have the marketing authorization obtained by the end of this year in 24 European countries that have the possibility to make the product on the market very shortly. In the same time, there are other countries outside Europe that are making the same, and there are some submissions that are ongoing or in the plans very shortly in a big country like Brazil, like Mexico, like Turkey, or in the Middle East. Then, before the end of the year probably, there are other countries that enter into the registration steps, and this will give us the chance to have the product registered worldwide. Ferring plan is to put the product in condition to enter the market in all the subsidiaries that they have, and they have more than 80 subsidiaries in the world. There are separate evaluations for two countries where special clinical trial, local clinical trials, are required in order to have access to the possible registration, and these are Russia and China that are under discussion now. Well, the most advanced product that we have, of course, and is the methylene blue. You know that we want to use methylene blue as a diagnostic tool and diagnostic drug for cancer screening and surveillance. And before I'm going, let me go immediately what is more actual. Yesterday, on the website of the European Gastroenterology Association, there was this kind of alert. So the European gastroenterologists call for screening for cancer because there are more than 200,000 deaths on colonic cancer. And these are alarming, all the gastroenterologists and the agency in the world, and particularly in Europe, where there is an intensification of the campaign for prevention. And this, of course, is exactly in line with our intention on the methylene blue. What is the activity of the methylene blue is known, probably. We wanted to deliver the active ingredient into the colon through our NMX formulation. And the dye is released into the colon, is taken up by the mucosa cell, where it's aimed to enhance the contrast between the mucosa structure elements, and in this way make more easily detectable the lesion that the mucosa has. And when we say lesion, we mean polyps, we mean adenoma, or even a small cancer. What is the advantage of CLEAR? The patient has no charge for this in terms of time or in terms of activity to do, because it's only to take some pills during the bowel prep, and the rest is done automatically by the drug. The endoscopy has the advantage that find a stain environment that enhances the possibility to detect what are the mucosal lesions that is residing into the gut. And from the patient point of view, there is the lack of subjectivity and inexperience, let me say, that are played by the gastroenterologist or by the endoscopist when they have to make this kind of procedure. The market size for a product like this is very interesting. There are at least 30 million colonoscopy projected every year, and maybe that through the alerting that has been launched by the GI, this number should be also enhanced. Well, drug is not competition in the sense that there is only a procedure that is cumbersome and requires time, and so is not well envisaged by the endoscopist. That is the spray chromoendoscopy exerted through the insertion of a catheter to spray some liquid dye into the colonic tract according to some suspicions that the endoscopy could have. This is why we talk about subjectivity. If you don't have any suspect, you don't use chromoendoscopy and you don't find the lesion. Well, what are the lesions? And what are the advantages? All of these kind of advantages could be recognized in our project. There is, of course, the staining capability. The staining is the enhancement of the difference between the precancerous lesion compared to the other surrounding cell. There is absolutely wet, bad definition of the border. That is another important factor if you have to resect a tumor or an adenoma. It's really important that you don't leave any cell that could enhance again the growth of the same lesion in the time. And then there are another important thing, that is the pattern enhancement. The PIT pattern is a classification system that has been found by a Japanese people, Mr. Kudo, that allow the endoscopist to recognize the positivity for cancer prediction of the lesion. Well, there is a classification system that is enhanced by the presence of the dye on the surface of this kind of formation. Well, the formation has the polyps that you can see here, and you see some example of them. You see that there is, in some cases, there is an enhanced absorption of the dye. In other cases, there is less absorption of the dye than the surrounding cell. In both the cases, the difference of uptake allows the endoscopist to recognize more clearly that there is a lesion and that should be removed. And the lesions generally are protruding from the mucosa into the lumen of the colon that make like a sort of red flag, I'm here, please remove me, like this. But not always we have the same situation. If you see here, you see that there are also other diminutive polyp. Diminutive means small. Polyp generally are from few millimeters to a couple of centimeters. The polyp protruding of more than 1 centimeter are easily recognized. But lowest is the dimension and lowest is the protrusion of the polyp into the lumen, higher is the possibility for a missing rate. And in this case, I want to show you some one of them that are the diminutive polyps. Well, you see that here you have a polyp that is enhanced by the absorption and intake of the blue. Here you see the same, and here as well. But look at this. This is really flat. And the flat means that there is no alerting. There is no protrusion that could engage and enhance the suspicion of the endoscopies during the procedure. And these are small ones. Other are defined not visible without the contrast. It's not talking only about the color. It's only the contrast that put in evidence the presence of this lesion into the gut of the patient. And I want to show the last one, that is this. This is absolutely invisible without the blue. Here you have a very small 2-3 millimeter flat polyps that cannot be visible without the contrast agent presence. Well, this is just to show you what is the importance to have a diagnostic system that enhances the positivity of the mucosal lesion in terms of uptake in a differential way the dye from the environment. Well, we are conducting an important clinical trial, a global clinical trial, with 14 sites involved. There are more than 1,000 patients, really 1,270 patients to be enrolled. And we have some endpoints that are really clear and has been discussed and agreed with the agency. The primary endpoint is the proportion of patients with at least one adenoma proven by histologist. Because the endoscopist found the lesion, the histologist, that is a separate lab, have to make an histological examination just to detect the precancerous nature of the lesion removed. And then there are a list of secondary endpoints that configure this kind of trial as one of the more important in the last year and will give us a lot of information also for the future. These are some sites. There are the American sites. You see that there are the three Mayo Clinic, Bruining, Ramirez, and Wallace. And then we have John Hopkins. We have Kansas City, that is one of the biggest and the more important hospitals for this kind of research. And also in Canada, we have Norman Marcon, that is the father of all the endoscopists in the world, because he was the first and the biggest in the past, and was like a sort of scientist that learned to the other what is the right way to conduct the endoscopist. And also in Europe, we have the big key opinion leader, starting from Kislich, that is the father of the chrome endoscopy, up to Alessandro Repici, James East, Ralph Bishop, and so on. Well, we started this clinical trial in December, activating the first site, and then progressively we activated the site, generally one every 2 weeks, because we are involved into the clinical trial control, and we wanted to assist all the sites in the starting of the procedure, because the procedure is fast and the recruitment is fast as well.
Let me say that in this case, the recruitment is not a real problem. So if you take in consideration that to recruit a patient in ulcerative colitis, there is a need of one patient for one month for one site. Means that we can enroll on just one patient in a site in a month. For such a trial, we can enroll more than five patients for each day. So it means that the recruitment is not really a problem. But what is very important for us is to be under the total control of the company. The trial should be completely managed by us and not by the CRO. We have four CRO that are taking care in terms of recruitment, a monitor, a movie, because we have the movie for each patient, and there is a very great expectation by the physician because there are no news in such important field, because the only news that they have are related to the light or to the new apparatus. There are no in the colon cancer no new pharma diagnostic that can enhance the detection of the polyp.
Well, just a few updates on the other two projects, the main project that we have, because this is not the meeting for research, but an update is to be done. Rifampicin has been taken up from Santarus, and you know that rifampicin is an ansamycin, a sister molecule that rifaximin, that is the active ingredient of Xifaxan. Xifaxan is an important molecule for Salix that is becoming one of the blockbuster in the future. And we have a sister molecule, it means that they have an active ingredient that belongs to the same family of ansamycin and has a very similar activity and characteristics in terms of PK. For this kind of molecule, we have designed some application. The first and the most fast is the traveler diarrhea and infectious colitis because it requires a short period of treatment. And what is more important is the advantages that a molecule like this could give us in terms of regulatory status, because first of all, it's recognized as a new chemical entity by the FDA. It means that there are differential protection in terms of result, clinical results. And recently, has been offered the possibility to have a recognizement of GAIN. GAIN is a program that has been launched by the FDA just to increase the development of new antibiotics that could open the American market to some treatment that today are not allowed. This also is representing for the industry some advantages because they offer the possibility to prolong the exclusivity periods from 5 to 7 years up to 10 years, and they require less patient to be treated in order to be approved, and so a quick development that is absolutely welcomed by the industry. The status of this clinical trial probably is known because we are talking about also last year. We have concluded successfully the phase 3 study that has been done in Latin America by our partner Santarus, and for the first time we have been met the primary endpoint versus placebo. Well, a similar confirmatory trial is operative now by FALC. Up to yesterday, it was in India, and was a non-inferiority trial versus ciprofloxacin. The problem of the India that imposed us 1 year and a half of stop for this kind of trial, but not only to us, for all the company that was conducting clinical trial there, induce us to move the trial from India to Latin America.
Yeah, because they change the rules. We have to consider that we are going to challenge in the trial in that is not a disease, the travel diarrhea. But now with the new rules of the India, the subject should be recovered in the public hospital, record it and picture and so on. So is the reason why the enrollment collapsed and we decided with our partner to move from India to Latin America thanks to the experience that we got through the Santarus trial. Because as Luigi said before, this the first pivotal study, phase 3, run by Santarus was positive, was run exactly where we are going, in the Guatemala, in Mexico, in Ecuador, and we can engage also the Peru because in our second pivotal study the challenge is not versus placebo, but is a non-inferiority study versus ciprofloxacin. Means that even the Peru can be considered a country that the ethical committee accept the design. We hope that within the end of this year we can enroll the last 180 patients just to put everything in the same package, because as you know we have to file 2 pivotal studies. The first was run and was positive, now we have to run the second and file to the first FDA and second as an MRIP to the German Health Ministry.
Yeah, we are confident that in 1 year we fulfill the recruitment and we prepare the dossier for submission in order to have the submission done in the first half of next year. And also we are looking to the future, apart the indication contingent of the traveler diarrhea. We are looking to other indication. The first and the most advanced is the diverticulitis that is already open through our partner Falk Pharma. And there are other possibilities that in the future we won't evaluate it. Well, the last product that I wanted to give you in terms of update is the CB-001. You remember that CB-001 is the anti-androgen molecule that we develop inside of the company. And we fulfilled the patient treatment in February for our dose ranging finding study that was ongoing in the United States. There were four treatment cohort and one placebo cohort, each one of 80 patients for a total of approximately 400 patients. And we have this kind of aim from this target: select the best dose and make the calculation for the correct sample size for the next coming phase 3. This is the target of this clinical trial, which results are under evaluation and should be released, I think, at the end of April or beginning of May. What is important up to now and what has emerged from the patient that we treated in the meantime was the absolute safety profile of the drug that didn't reveal any serious adverse event treatment-related and confirmed that the product is absolutely safe, nevertheless should be included in the hormonal category because the antiandrogen exert the activity at the receptor level and not at the systemic level. What is the activity is in the vignette. You see that there is the follicula. The follicula generally under the androgen stimulus produced some sebum. The sebum closed the follicula outside channel and through the infection of a bacterium, there is generated some infection there that inflated the inflammation and generated the typical pattern that we all know, that is the papula, the pustula, and the nodules. Well, in a different way than the drug on the market today, that generally are anti-infective drugs that try to avoid the infection of the sebum, we have a different mechanism of action that is to contrast the generation of the hypersebum production, and so the closure of the follicula and the outside channel. We have the end of phase 2 meeting planned for the next month, and in the end of phase 2 meeting, we'll discuss the protocol for the phase 3 with the agency, particularly the American agency. Of course, at the success of the results publication, we have the right for a milestone important for our company. The other indication is the alopecia. We already had a pre-IND meeting done with the agency. For the first time in my career, I was in a very comfortable situation because the agency had nothing to discuss, was in agreement with all the proposals that we did. That is quite strange, but happened. And this encourages us to start in the second part of this year with a proof of concept trial that we want to do using minoxidil as the comparator for alopecia treatment. Well, sorry, the last one. We are very confident that the patent protection should enhance the success of our company, and this is representing the patent portfolio that we develop in the meantime. You see that there are some green bar and the blue bar. Well, the green bar are the patent already issued. The blue bar are the patent application that are still pending. And then you see that there are some full line or dot line. The dot line was the new patent application or achievement that we obtained during the last year. This is just to give you the confidence that we are following our business not only from scientific point of view, but also from the protection of our intellectual property.
Alex, now. Thank you. Well, I think you all know already the financial details of the closing of the Centaurus transaction. I think it was an excellent transaction, and the company also had the benefit that because of the way that transaction was structured, the benefit incoming from the second tranche of our sale will impact this year and not last year, so we have been able to split the capital gain into financial years, which was good from the profit standpoint. Clearly, this is also one of the reasons why the outlook of 2014 looks good, because we have begun the year with a very nice profit. I think it's also interesting to tell you a little bit more what happened from, let's say, behind the scene, because in life it's also important not to be just good, but also to be lucky. And there has been a stream of events which was very favorable to the company. Basically, it happened that once the Uceris was approved in January, we started questioning whether it was really the case to license out Methylene Blue, because for us the tipping point was the approval of Uceris in the U.S. market. And so there was not really much any more of an urgency to enter into any licensing deal of Methylene Blue at that stage. So we thought, well, we can and should keep it on hold. And by the way, given the fact that there has been such a nice gain already on the Santaros shares, we should start selling a portion of it. Then in November, it was announced that there was a takeover of Santaros by Salix, and we knew what the price would have been. We thought that there would have been another exceptional gain, which was even kind of double the price of what we had sold the shares in May, and we thought that we would have, at that point in time, enough resources to fund our own U.S. operation. So we thought this is really the case to do it, because now we have the financial strength to do it all by ourselves. And this is why we came to the decision that we should start our U.S. operations. And we are already very much into the process, because we have already set up a new Irish subholding whose name is currently Cosmo Technologies 2, and this Irish subholding owns 100% of a company that has already been incorporated in Delaware, and whose name, with a gigantic effort of fantasy, is Cosmo Pharmaceuticals, Inc. The reason why we've been creating a new Irish subsidiary is because we want and we will strive to obtain that the U.S. operation will benefit of what is called the Irish sandwich. Basically, you may or should be aware that most of the U.S. pharmaceutical companies now are trying to implement what they call an inversion strategy, which means bringing their headquarters into Ireland, basically, because in this way they will be able to obtain a more favorable tax treatment. We should be able to obtain it from the beginning, because we don't have to invert anything, in the sense that we don't have to move anything from the U.S. back to Ireland, but we will be establishing things in Ireland and then as a downfall commercial operations in the U.S. So the corporate governance structure and the part of management will be located in Ireland and will direct and control the U.S. operation from Ireland. We are currently in discussions with two very experienced management team, people that we would like to hire to run the U.S. business. We expect to close with either one of these team in a relatively short time. We hope it will be around May or June, because we would like to have the operation starting by, say, end of June 2014. This is because we will be, at that point in time, relatively close to know the results of Methylene Blue, so we need to make sure that we have already built, to at least to some degree, an organization there that will be able to leverage the opportunity. It is not going to be a very expensive venture, because what is going to be more expensive is the sales force, and clearly we will not hire anybody or structure anything up until the point that we know that we will have a product that is going to be approved. So we will be also very, very conservative from that standpoint. And we think, therefore, that there will not be a big impact on our expenses if we start setting up the U.S. operation starting from the beginning or the end of June. You know, the Irish sandwich will mean that this will be even more profitable, hopefully, venture, because, as Chris said, the tax rate in Ireland is 12.5%, while the tax rate in the U.S. is much higher. And this is basically all, because it's a process that is very much in place. And as I said, we expect that things will occur in a relatively short time frame. As for the financial outlook, as I was saying at the beginning, I think it's very good because we have started the year already with a significant gain. So we know that Uceris is selling very well, so we have reasonable expectation that apart from the royalties, those two commercial milestones will be attained. Just consider that Santares, and I know the story very well because I was on the board of Santares, that Santares had already on its own forecasted sales in the second year around 150 million, and Salix in the meanwhile more than doubled the sales force. So when we think 150 million sales next year, I think that we are probably on a conservative side, given the fact that these were the numbers of Santares and that Salix has more than doubled the sales force. You may also know that Salix concluded the acquisition, which is was a 2.6 billion acquisition, entirely financing the acquisition with debt, and they told their lenders that they would have repaid these 2.6 billion loans in 5 years, projecting to reach peak sales of Uceris quite soon. So this gives you some insight of what may happen with this sales, and this is also one of the reasons why, at least for this 2014, we'll feel relatively confident. CBO 301, we expect to have our milestone being paid, so this is the reason why EBITDA is projected to more than double this year. So I think 2013 has been an exceptional year, and hopefully 2014 will be as well. Thank you. Next slide. Oh, sorry, there's one more slide. Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, the key events, but these are all things that we have basically already touched. I said that really the tipping point phase for the company started from the achievement of this series of approval, but this is going to be a very important year as well. First of all, we will have the results of Methylene Blue Phase 3, although this will are likely to occur by year end. We project to know them around December, probably. And the phase meeting with the FDA for CBO 301 is likely to occur in the second or the third quarter. Cosmo USA, as I said, has already been established. We will file the IND for alopecia in the first half, and so it's going to be a busy year. Thank you.
Identify yourself, so because there's people that are on the.
Expect your sales force to be in 2015, I think, as you indicated during the Capital Markets Day, to be of about 150 people.
In the U.S.?
Yeah.
250 people. Ah, yes. So we do believe that thanks to the drug that we are going to sell, there is no need for a major force of reps. Should be in the vicinity of 120, 150 people, not more. Yes.
Are you talking about Uceris, or are you talking about Methylene?
No, 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 Methylene Blue, U.S. operation, U.S. operation.
Okay.
U.S. operation, yes, yes, I answer.
Mr. Schumann?
You are in the midst of that phase three studies in Methylene Blue.
Yeah.
And I just see that in Italy, you're the fastest. You have already made 23 tests.
Yeah.
Do you have any results, or is that secret?
No, the results are, we are still blinding. So you know that. No, we know. We don't. We know because we have the movie just 3 seconds later, and they do the procedure. But let me say that, my opinion, everything is going very well. And we got a lot of compliments by the second reviewer that were not so close to the our process, because they didn't believe that thanks a normal, a simple tablet, we can have such important contrast and color in the column. But I cannot tell more. So the trial is on track. We are confident that everything is going well, and we already got, in my opinion, something great in terms of possible announcement thanks to the color and the contrast. But we will see. Let me say that since the beginning, this was the real challenge, no? Because we could have two different strategies. One was go where there is a strong lack of detection, because you have to take in consideration that there is a lack of detection, but there is another world if you compare the big institution with the small, medium-sized institution. Because in the big institutions, such as the Mayo Clinic, or John Hopkins, or Humanitas, or Frankfurt, or Oxford, the detection rate for polyps is around 50%, 47%. In the other hospital, medium, small-sized hospital, we have an average that is 25%. So the challenge and the decision was, we challenge where is easier to win, but there is overall a discussion after the approval, because yes, but the hospital were not first-class hospital, always started in the Champions League. We decided that thanks to Ronaldo, because we have Ronaldo and Messi, in my opinion, we can play in Champions League. And playing Champions League is challenge Mayo Clinic in the announcement of, we can do better than your 46%. This is the reason why. We are confident, but we must be prudent, because so the challenge, let me say, is very high. It's very high. No, no, we pay a very, let me say, miserable money. That is very good, because they shown the commitment. Because it's very easy get commitment when you pay a lot of money. But it's not so easy when you don't pay a lot of money, raise commitment. But was not so difficult, because As I told during the presentation, we are the only company in the world that are going to present something new in the colonoscopy. The other are Olympus, that are apparatus, white, length, completely different. It's the reason why we have the major and the most important hospital close us. We consider partner, not site. And we are confident that we can enroll all the patients, and we can have, let me say, good result.
What is the risk that 3-4 years from now, another product, another method will be easier and faster and better than yours? Like a pill you digest, and then you have...
Let me understand better. So what does it mean? So another Methylene Blue, another technique? Oh, can be possible. I don't really know.
Yeah. Well, there are
two possibilities. The first is a new product, and a second is a new technology. New technology are developing every year. But the last technology that has been developed that didn't offer a real advantage compared to the existing technology today. Even though there are new light, there are new lens, new microscopic movement inside of the endoscopes and so on. This is the new technology. New product, I didn't see any other new product on the horizon today. And we have an announced patent protection against the use of this kind of dye into the colonic environment thanks to the formulation that we hope not to have competition in the future as well. But, of course, the future cannot be predicted.
There is something that maybe could be explained. So there is an axiom overall, no? That is, thanks God, not all the polyps became cancer, but there is no cancer that before were not a polyp. This is the axiom that get a lot of enthusiasm in terms of enough the procedure, because there are no doubt that there is the eradication of the polyps when it's a polyps, an adenoma. So the possibility to get that cancer is zero. Zero. This is very good, and can happen only in the colonic cancer. Cannot happen in the breast or in the liver, and the colon can happen. Is the reason why, if you look through the statistics, you can easily see that there is only one country that slowed down the death in the 2012 was. It was U.S. You know why? Because it's a widely used in the U.S. Colonoscopy in the prevention and the colon screening. The emergent country, let me say that like the Korea or the India, or they increase, they are going to increase a double-digit rate in the death in the colonic cancer area. This is exactly the reason why there is all the world that is pushing to make as much as they can the colonoscopy in the people that has more than 50 years.
Bob Pooler, Evaluation Lab. With the acquisition, of course, of Saxis Antares, you now regain the U.S. rights of rifamycin. What are your plans with that sort of timing ideas? What are you going to do with those rights?
We do what Salix did. Is enough.
Yeah. Okay. And any timing when you want to plan, assign then potentially a partner with that for the commercialization?
No, because we are going to own our structure.
You will do that through this.
Sorry, there is something that I forgot to tell you that should be considered. I had this in mind and I forgot. So I'm sorry. One of the things that should be considered, if you look at our new U.S. structure, just to tell you what we have in mind in long-term strategic view, is the following. Once I told you that we have established this Cosmo Technologies second, so it's another subholding. This subholding will receive not the products for free, but we'll receive the products under a license agreement that will be at arm's length. Therefore, the U.S. company, Cosmo Pharmaceutical Inc., will be a distributor of the products, and this is the reason why most of the profits will be retained at the Irish subholding level at the 12.5%. But this also means that whatever the future of this U.S. venture, Cosmo Pharmaceuticals SPA, the company listed here in Switzerland, will benefit of a royalty stream that we do not intend to waive in any respect. So the value of the U.S. venture will be, whatever the value will be assessed, will be a value that will need to take into consideration that there will be a royalty stream towards the Swiss-listed company. So the NPV for us of that venture will be composed of two different NPVs. It will be the NPVs of the U.S. company taking into consideration detracting the royalty flows, but also the NPV of the royalty flows that we will be receiving. This will allow us to multiple strategic options for this U.S. venture. We could consider listing this. We could consider this becoming fully independent. And even if this happens, we will retain as a holding company the royalty flows. We may eventually decide to reverse merge the company, or may eventually decide to double list Cosmo here also in the USA. But it's important that when you look at this U.S. venture, you consider that it's a double arm strategy. An NPV of the commercial operation considering the royalty flows, and an NPV of the royalty flows that we will continue receiving. Therefore, when you look at rifamycin, and when you think that we will be doing exactly as Salus did, you will have to think that there will be a license agreement of rifamycin to this U.S. venture, and that we will capture the royalties from the direct sale. So it will basically be our subsidiary selling our product, but also paying us the royalties.
Just then, the status of low molecular weight heparin, MMX, that's now out of the pipeline?
No, because not in the U.S., because maybe as you know, I don't know if you are you familiar, the heparin, the low molecular heparin that we selected is a new chemical entity in the U.S., because even though the drug has been sold in seven major countries in Europe, during the pre-IND meeting with the FDA, they didn't consider the drug as a no new drug. It means that we have to restart since scratch all the toxic study and so on. Is the reason why we are not going to license to the U.S. activities the heparin, because we have, in my opinion, more interesting project and we can go faster, because we have two products in phase three. The other product is under possible launch in the 2015. So we are moving faster, and maybe in the future, but we have to restart from scratch in the U.S. because there is nothing to do. The meeting with the FDA was so clear. The FDA said that, hey guys, we have to prove all the toxic study and blah blah blah.
Well, two more questions just on Zickel. When we were at your headquarters at the R&D meeting, you had this nice TV.
You know how many pieces we sold in Italy?
Yeah, I'm curious.
90,000.
Okay.
That's unbelievable. So we sold in all the year 2013 through the through few reps 18,000 in 1 year. Through the advertising in TV, we sold 90,000 pieces
in 2 months.
In 2 months.
Is this something that you were considering maybe going forward?
Let me say that now, if we find something clever in terms of regulatory aspect, to be ready for large markets such as Germany, France, U.S., we can do something with the partners. Eh? But I can answer in your question in a couple of months. So now there is an agency that is working for us just to give us how we can looking forward, how we can move. Because it's very interesting. What I can tell you for sure that we, the approach was so clever that we impact a real need. There is a very real need for intestine in the IBS segment, and I am pretty sure that if works in Italy, it can work in Spain or in France or in the U.S. exactly in the same system.
Then if I may, just a final question. One of the strategic points is replenishing the pipeline. It's now MMX has been on using drugs that are generic. Do you see opportunities there? And then, of course, you now as chairman, no longer in the future than as CEO, where do you see the company, or what do you think are the most important points for you as a chairman bringing the company forward from where you are now.
Don't forget that I am the chairman, that's even the major shareholder.
Yes, so.
That is not irrelevant. So, in my opinion, it's very relevant. So I am let me say, first proud, and second sure that Alex can do better than me, that I will be close to the company, sure, but there is no need, believe me. So there is need only in a strategic point of view, because thanks to the 40 years that I spend in the pharma field, I believe that's something that I can suggest Alex. So around the technology or new technology, you are right. We are hardly working in find something new and interesting. And I don't know, maybe in the next presentation we will have something new. Okay?
Shareholders and the most happiest are sitting at that table. That's for sure. But what bothers me lately is that when you buy a share in Zurich, you always pay this fiscal tax. Is that new, and is that something you can do something against it?
Ask Prodi or so. It's difficult to answer.
The Tobin tax is not new. The Tobin tax was put in place a bit more than a year ago. But last year, in 2013, our market cap was below 500 million euro, and as a consequence, we didn't qualify for the Tobin tax. Unfortunately, we are now above that hurdle, so the Tobin tax is payable. Now, I have heard that the Swiss banks are refusing to collect the Tobin tax for the benefit of the Italian state. They may charge you, but I don't know what they're doing with the money. You may go and talk with your colleagues at Credit Suisse here, because there are some people here, because you know that we recently conducted share buyback. And in this process, we, of course, were the buyers. And the Credit Suisse inquired with the federal authorities in Switzerland, and the federal authorities said that Credit Suisse was not allowed to act as a tax collector for the Italian state, so they were not allowed to pay. So this is sort of in limbo, and you had better talk to your bank of what the hell they're doing with your money.
And now I have a good news for you. There is a Renzi that is taking care for you.
He's taking care for all. Renzi is our... Thanks, Renzi. We are going to transform our country.
Two years ago.
My opinion, yes. I am not an expert, but... It's ridiculous. It's a good question. So they projected billion, and they raised billion. The billion, you know what is the billion in Italy? It's like the sphere. So some millions. So.
But I think that anywhere, whatever was collected had already been spent in advance.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Yes, Mr. Navrat.
Luigi. Coming back to the Magellan Blue project, Center Stage is your own project without partners, and it has something to do with the so-called problem of lead time bias with our diagnostic, which becomes more and more sensitive. Maybe the example, you have a cancer patient, two cancer patients, same diagnosis, same treatment. The only one difference is the better diagnostic, the more sensitive diagnostic. The first patient gets the diagnosis of the same cancer 4 years ago, and the second one 1 year ago. Both patients are living only 1 year later. Also the first patient after the diagnosis 4 years, in summary, and the second patient only 1 year. But the only one difference, and they were treated with the same treatments, the only one difference is the first patient knew 3 years longer he has cancer. But the treatment is the same, has the same less success as for the first patient.
No, sorry, it's completely misleading.
Wait a moment.
No, I can wait. But it's misleading since the beginning. So when it's misleading since the beginning, it's difficult that I can see the outcome,
no.
Believe me. So.
The overall problem, or the issue is the oversensitivity of our diagnostic tools. Would we detect polyps, precancerosis in the colon with methylene blue, which actually would never ever get a surgery, would we increase the surgery rate for very, very high, very small polyps or affections in our gut, which we could not see in the time before, and now we see it, and therefore we make the surgery, which would be actually unnecessary. Is this
the
problem?
No, sorry. No. Now I can answer you. Sorry, Luigi. I can answer you. So first, we are running something different. So when there is a diagnosis of a cancer, we are very sorry, but the game is over, so for us. So we are going to do something completely different. We want to prevent the possibility that a patient can develop a cancer. As I told before, there are no doubts that there were not a cancer that before was not a polyp. So the eradication of a polyp depends from the doctor. You know that for us it's very important the detection of adenoma, because adenoma is considered a precancerous status. Is the reason why if you remove a dead status, you have no major possibility, but 100% of the possibility that there is no problem for that adenoma. So this is the challenge. In terms of sensitivity or analysis, so there is something that I can explain you maybe separately, because it's very, very technique. That is a false positive, a false negative. So there is a possibility that thanks to the enhancement, the better enhancement, we can increase the eradication of normal polyps. But let me say that even in this case, it's not bad. It's not bad. So not something that is in the sensitivity analysis or the one year before or 4 years later. No, no. The challenge is prevent the cancer. This is the challenge.
Data that it's important that you know, because it's not in the general knowledge. The current colonoscopy procedure presents a missing rate of the lesion that is more or less about 20%, and is growing as far as the lesion are smaller. Smaller lesion, higher missing rate. But with this kind of missing rate, the possibility that you develop a so-called interval cancer are high. Interval cancer are the cancer that has been developed in the time interval between one colonoscopy and the other. Because when you start to do colonoscopy, you are called to have another colonoscopy in a few years, depending on the classification that you present as a patient risk. If you have an adenoma or a small cancer, you have been required to make another colonoscopy in 2 years. If you don't have any one of this kind of lesion, you are suggested to call the hospital for a new colonoscopy in 5 years or more. But in this time, there is the possibility that a lesion that has not been detected could become first an adenoma and then a cancer, and they are called the interval cancers. Well, there was last year a paper on New England Journal of Medicine, that is the top Bible of the scientists, that put in the right connection the interval cancer rate and the colonoscopy detection rate. And there was the first time that there was the evidence that the colonoscopy could save the lives. That is to be taken into account. And as Mauro said, we are in the diagnosis, not in the surgery, and not in the therapy. But in our kind of diagnosis, if the lesion is small,
you have been the chance, the incredible chance, to be taken first and without any problem for your intestine. If you take a biopsy with a 2 or 3 or 5 millimeter lesion or adenoma, you don't have any other possibility to develop a cancer in that location. That's important to know. Provided that you have a good removal of all the cells that are degenerated, and this is the importance to have a border identificator, like the dye. The dye allows the endoscopist to appreciate where he has to be taken up. And that's the contribution.
And consider also the following in looking at the project. Remember something that Alessandro Repici said at last year R&D day in Linate. He said if the methylene blue works, this is going to become quickly a standard of care, because it will be, if it really enhances the detection rate, it will be hard to imagine that you can continue doing the wildlife colonoscopy if just by taking the pill you have a significant enhancement in the detection rate. And this also brings a very interesting issue of compliance, because you can easily imagine if the major centers in the world that do a colonoscopist start thinking that they do get an advantage in the detection rate by using the methylene blue, then someone that subsequently may develop a cancer and that the cancer was not screened because he was not told that he could have taken methylene blue and therefore didn't take it, well, how's that case then gonna work? This, I think that if the drug will prove, the diagnostic, sorry, not a drug, will prove successful in the clinical trial, then an issue of compliance will immediately arise, because as a patient, you may want to be told that you can take that and increase your detection rate. This is something that you should think of also in terms of potential.
Hello, my name is Hertel. I'm an investor. I just wanted to ask you, how many minutes does endoscopy is going on, the new one with your product and the old one?
The normal endoscopy time is between 6 and 15 minutes. Generally, the endoscopy time is directly correlated of the local situation and on the accuracy of the diagnosis. Higher the endoscopy time, higher the detection rate, generally. Well, to this time you have to add the time for intervention, because during endoscopy, generally the endoscopist, if found something, proceed immediately to the removal, and this could require time. Another element that could increase the time of the procedure was, and this is an advantage of our project compared to the existing technology, the preparation of the dye, the spray of the dye, the wait for removal and sucking of the dye excess, and in this case you lose generally three to four minutes every time that you use it. Well, our project allowed the endoscopist to save the time, to maintain the time generally between the 6 and 15 minutes without increase the time of the procedure with some other aspects of preparation.
If there's no more questions, then we'll ask the people that are online whether they have any questions.
The first question from the phone is from Mr. Trung Huynh from Jefferies. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Hi. This is Trung from Jefferies. I've got three questions. My first one is, has Dr. Folt spoken to the US FDA or the EMA regarding the shift in trials from India to Latin America? Can patient populations from these geographies be combined in the final statistical analysis?
It seems to me there are no any issue, because we are not going to change any parameters in terms of enrollment, in terms of judgment, so it doesn't represent a problem.
Okay. My second question, with the rifamycin delay, will that impact the U.S. subsidiary plans, if at all? Or given rifamycin and methylene blue, you know, phase three results are likely next year, can the expansion of the U.S. infrastructure be shifted a little back this year?
Absolutely no, because you have to take in consideration that in our opinion, for the, especially for the U.S., it's different in Europe, the indication that the interest to the U.S. company is not for sure the travel diarrhea. Because in Europe, we will have an indication in normal infections, that is a very large market, even though the price is very cheap. But the market is very, very large. It's a tough market. In the U.S., our expectation, our believement is that we can figure out major interest in the second indication. You can easily see what Salix did. So when Salix was the travel diarrhea drug was a 100 million drug, I remember, more or less. Now, thanks to the encephalopathy, you understood, is a 700 million drug. Our intention is develop, especially in the U.S., the second indication that allow the drug to become a multi-hundred million drug.
Okay. And my final question is, what are Cosmo's plans for AS101 in HPV genital warts?
The AS101 is to be proven now on the HPV. Is starting a proof-of-concept comparative trial with placebo that will last for 1 year and will give us the dimension, or sorry, the element to dimension the sample size for the next coming trials. And is you're referring to IS-101 as the tellurium-containing compound, I think.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. And presumably the U.S. rights will be retained?
No, the U.S. right will be in our possession now as the other part of the world.
Yeah.
Retained by us, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, it should be decided.
Okay.
So sure in this answer, because as you know, we have major interest in develop a gastrointestinal treatment for the U.S. is the reason why a couple of months we are going to present the structure. So in the skin area, let us work. We are not 100% sure that we will retain the rights in-house in the U.S.
Okay, what about ex-U.S.?
Ex-U.S. is a lot more complicated to market. So if we market something directly, it will be in the U.S. In Europe, we will have the tendency of licensing out.
No, there are no doubts that we are going to apply in Europe the license deal. Only for the methylene blue, our intention is apply a country-by-country license just because the market should be or would be so big that makes sense that we can have a major opportunity country by country in the selection of the best candidate and the best partner for us.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Coming.
Thank you.
And we will now hope to see you with news reasonably soon.
With good news.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.